Today's lesson is taken from the Gospel according to John, the last chapter. It's a post-resurrection story. And what the verses Diane will be reading in a moment, what precedes that is the fish. We recall the story about Jesus telling them to fish on the other side of the boat, and they got so many fish. I think it was 153, I think was the number. And Jesus prepared breakfast for his disciples. That's what precedes the text for this morning.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
We kid around with the fact that I'm a Baptist minister in a Methodist church, but I think I've told you a little bit about my Methodist background. I was introduced to the faith, actually, at the First Methodist Church, Stoughton, Massachusetts. The Reverend Dale White was the pastor. This is back in the 50s. So for about 10, 12 years or so, I was actually a Methodist. And then later on in life, Eileen and I had a chance to sing at the Loves Park United Methodist Church, just outside Rockford, Illinois, where I was also the youth director. So I do have some Methodist luggage, baggage, whatever, if you will. And I say that with a great deal of love in my heart. I'd like to first of all tell you that if I had my druthers, I would change the title of my sermon. Rather than, "What are these?" Then. Hold on to that word. We'll get to it later. Pastor Rebecca chose to focus on questions Jesus asked during the Lenten season, and I have fallen into that particular routine. Although she did give me, I must say, she gave me the opportunity to do whatever I liked, but I thought I'd stay with the questions. Now, questions are an interesting thing. Some questions just simply seek information. Like, what is the capital of New York? You don't have to answer any of these, by the way. Some questions seek opinions. Do you think the Red Sox will get to the World Series this year? Some questions seek feelings. You know, you go to a friend who's just had surgery or just received some bad news and you say, "How are you doing? How are you feeling?" Some questions are light. What's your favorite ice cream? Some questions are heavy, such as when the minister says to the couple in front of him, "Do you take this man to be a lawfully wedded husband?" That's a heavy question. Certainly the psalmist spoke some heavy questions from the 77th Psalm when he said, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will God never show favor again? Has God's unfailing love vanished forever?" Light questions, heavy questions, seeking information, opinions, feelings. Questions also say something about the one who's asking the questions. Says something about their concerns, their priorities, their knowledge or the lack thereof. I was a guide on the Mayflower for a couple of years, way back in the 60s, and had a lot of questions. There are two questions that continue to stand out in my mind out of all the questions I was asked as a guide. And one of them was a woman who was very, I think they're both women actually, concerned about how did the pilgrims get Plymouth Rock from Provincetown to Plymouth. Now, she knew they had landed in P-Town first, but she was wondering how that huge, you've seen it, I'm sure you've all seen it, and it's not all there, as you know that too. She wondered how they got it there. Well, I didn't have a, well, I did have an answer, but. Anyway, and the other question was from a woman who was from the Midwest, and she was looking at the time the Mayflower was sitting in Plymouth Harbor, at the dock there, that's where it was. And if you know Plymouth Harbor, it's kind of congested. It's not very open and big. Looks kind of, you know, small. And she said, you know, it's a shame that such a beautiful large ship is in such a small body of water. She said, you know, you could bring it out to the Midwest. We put it in Lake Michigan or something. Much larger body. Well, I can only take so much. And I said to her, ma'am, you're looking at the Atlantic Ocean. Questions. Some questions are light, some are heavy. Some seek information, some seek opinion, some seek feelings, some tell us about the one asking, and some questions simply defy categorization. I'll tell you a little story. A burglar breaks into a house. He starts shining his light around looking for valuables. Some nice things catch his eye, and as he reaches for them, he hears, Jesus is watching you. Startled, the burglar looks for the speaker. Seeing no one, he keeps putting things in his bag. Again he hears, Jesus is watching you. This time he sees a parrot. Who are you? The burglar asks. Moses. The bird replied. Who the heck would name a bird Moses? The man laughed. I don't know, Moses answered. I guess the same kind of people that would name a Rottweiler Jesus. Questions are a good thing. Jesus, as you know, asked a lot of them. I was going to put you on the spot and see how many questions Jesus asked, because Pastor Rebecca gave us the number last week. Anybody remember that number? 307, if I remember correctly. I had no idea Jesus asked that many questions. And as you know, Jesus usually uses them as a teaching tool. The question he asked Simon in today's text is one of them. And he asked the question three times. Three times. Countering, of course, the three times that Simon Peter, same person, denied his Lord in the courtyard on that fateful night. Three times. First time, do you love me more than these? Well, what are these? To what is Jesus referring? I think there are at least two ways of looking at it. And one way is actually translated by today's English version and the contemporary English version. They both have a little different translation. And as you may or may not know, all translation is interpretation. Let me repeat that. The one thing I learned taking Bible courses in seminary. All translation is interpretation. So the contemporary English version and today's English version add a word. But it's not there in the Greek. I looked. I have a Greek Bible. It still is Greek to me, but I get it out once in a while just to look at it. It doesn't have, do you love me more than these, which those two versions do. Another way is of perhaps understanding what Jesus was talking about, and we're not there to see his gestures, physical gestures or anything, but maybe he was pointing to the ship, the boat, that had been filled with fish not too long ago. And was saying to Simon Peter, do you love me more than you love fishing? Or do you love me more than you love your job as a fisherman? Not sure which he was talking about. But I think there are three things at least we can note. One of them is he used Simon's name directly. He said, Simon, son of John. He's talking directly to this man and wants to make sure he knows that Jesus is talking to him. As if he said to him, I'm talking to you, Simon. Do you love me? Do you love me? Reminds me that our relationship with the Christ is personal. It's a question we each individually need to answer. In one church, a C&E member, Christmas and Easter, came up to me one day, must have been one of those holidays, and I told him I missed him. And he said, don't worry, Pastor, my family goes weekly and I'm covered. Whatever that meant. What do you love more than our Lord? What do you love more than our Lord? Your reputation, your country, your wallet, your job, your time, your hobbies, your pride? Jesus asked each and every one of us, do you love me more than these? Now here comes that change in title. I'd like to change it to then, as I said. I want the word then to be there. Do you love me, John? Excuse me. Do you love me, Simon, son of John? Then feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Then. Because love means doing something. It means doing something. Simon, you claim to love me? Well, show me. Then show me. When you cast your vote for the new chief priest, vote for the one who most exemplifies my teachings, shows love to all, is forgiving and humble, who cares for the foreigners and the outcast. When you buy your next boat, show that you love me by weighing the impact of this boat on the environment in which it is placed. You know, the good Lord gave us a beautiful lake here, the Sea of Galilee. He created quite a beautiful place. We need to take care of it, Simon. We need to take care of it. If you love me, then consider your decisions in light of your love for me. I got a call. Actually, I got an email yesterday, that really troubled me. The email was from a former student of mine. I was her watch care pastor. You can ask me after the service what that means. And because I was a watch care pastor, she eventually joined our church. We ordained her. We ordained her. She's a black woman. Second career. She emailed me yesterday and got me angry. So angry that I called my homiletics professor. He's still around. He must be pushing 85, 90. I keep in touch with him because I'm on one of his legal documents. Anyway, I said to him, Professor, can you use anger in a sermon? And I told him the story, what I had just received, this email. My friend and colleague had told me she no longer went to this particular church because the racial tensions there were too much. She's a black woman, I said. Well, I was so annoyed and troubled by this. I know that church. I couldn't believe my ears or my eyes. And in the course of talking to my professor, he did most of the talking, 30 minutes later, I wasn't sure he'd answered my question directly, but he talked about humanity. Humanity. The sinfulness of humanity. I think he was saying, Sheldon, don't be too judgmental here, which is one of my faults, I confess. The man that I was talking to, this professor of mine, as I said, he's in his 80s somewhere. After all, he was my professor back in the 70s. You do the math. He's a black man. Grew up in Mississippi. Went to Ole Miss. I think he played football there. Christians at this church, professing Christians, showing racism. Made no sense to me. Makes no sense to me. You love the Lord? Then show me. Well, I was very fortunate in my life. My father not only, well, he didn't really talk about love. He just showed it. He just showed it. He showed the love for his family. My mother wanted a house, and he built one from a cottage, made it 7 rooms. She happened to like picture windows. He put in 5 of them. Put in 5 of them. When I went to school, he took on a 3rd job. I begged him not to. When I went to school out in Wisconsin, I was rather homesick. Those days, we didn't have cell phones. You call up the operator to charge it to your home phone. I don't know how many I charged, but it was a ton. You know what he told me? Nothing. Didn't say a word, because he loved me. He loved his family. He showed it. One time with a friend, my best friend, who was the son of a Methodist minister. His father was chaplain at Leavenworth Penitentiary. I met Billy Saul Estes there. We got into a little accident with the car I was driving, and, well, we didn't do the right thing. And eventually, because it was registered in my father's name, eventually the police knocked on my father's door. You know what he said to me as a result of that? Nothing. Never said a word. My father loved me that much. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Then show me. Show me. Dondre Green was on the golf team for a high school in Louisiana. He went to a tournament at Caldwell Parish Country Club. As they were warming up, their athletic director was in a serious conversation with an official from the club. And after the conversation concluded, the athletic director came over to the team and said, I want to speak to the seniors. So they gathered round, and the athletic director said to them, boys, if Dondre can't play here. Dondre was a black boy. Dondre can't play here because they don't allow black players on the course. What are we going to do? Are we going to play without Dondre? Or are we going to forfeit this tournament and go home? Unanimously and quickly, the boy said, we're going home. We're going home. In a speech that Dondre later gave, he said about this incident, it goes to show you that there are always good people who will not give in to bigotry. The kind of love they showed me that day will conquer hatred every time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Tend my sheep, feed my lambs, show me. They said the pastor noted that Jesus asked the question 307 times. Do you know how many times Jesus spoke about love in Scripture? One source told me 13 times. I thought, 13 times? This can't be right. Then it dawned on me. Love is not the only word that speaks about love. There are other words to use. How many times did Jesus use words describing the many manifestations of love? I don't know. How many times did Jesus speak about forgiveness, going the extra mile, sharing food with the 5,000 or with your neighbor, visiting the sick, healing, praying for one another, sharing what you have with those in need, reaching out to the sojourner and the sinner and the tax collectors, not being judgmental? And the list goes on and on. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And show me. How can we show love to the people of Ukraine? How can we show love to our neighbors here in the Cape? How can we show our love of Christ to the world? Do you love me? He said to Simon, son of John. He asked us the same question. Let's show it. Let us show it. Let us show it. Amen.